Hi, I'm Susan Evans from SusanEvans.org, and today I'm going to do a prayer audio that is called Controlling Your Mind. When you pray, do you have problems keeping your mind focused? The answer is yes in every believer's life, okay? Even mighty prayer warriors who are focused the majority of the time sometimes have distractions, and those distractions come in a wide variety of ways, including mundane things like what you're going to prepare for dinner, what you need to do next, things like that. So controlling your mind is major, and actually controlling your mind will help you to conquer sin. It will help you to walk a life of holiness. It will help you to draw closer to God in every aspect of your walk with God, not just prayer, okay? So the first reason I'm doing this is so that you can grow in your prayer walk with God and not just have your mind drift when you are praying. Praying out loud can help you really easily when you are, if you pray out loud, then what happens is you can hear physically, you can hear when you're going, when you stopped praying and you start going down a bunny trail. And so for me, that's the easiest thing. If you're tired and foggy, if you pray out loud, then you can definitely keep your focus a lot easier. Now, a lot of times that's not possible because there are children in the room or other things that are going on, and your prayers are about issues of other people that you're interceding for, and it's inappropriate to be sharing that with your children or whatever. So for me, a lot of times I have to pray, like when I'm in the car or something, with my children present, and therefore I must do it silently. So how to keep your mind focused from drifting? One thing that has helped me incredibly is an idea from Charlotte Mason. She is an educator from England from quite a while back, and she's actually for those people who homeschool, she is a homeschool method of to use. But anyway, one of her books was solely devoted to soul care and how to walk closer with God and to know yourself. And one of the things she said was that your mind has a doorway and you do not have to let in any stray thought. So you don't have to think whatever thoughts just come into your mind. Let me tell you, 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Okay? So we are to take captive every thought. That means you are responsible for every thought that you think. It's not just your actions that are sin, it's your thoughts that are sin. Okay? So, that is where sin begins. And Jesus said this in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5. He said, for example, that if you're angry in your heart, then you've already committed murder. If you lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery. So he's saying that your mind, what you are thinking, is the core sin. Outwardly, it reveals what was already in your heart and mind, okay? So do not allow your mind to dwell on things that are sin, okay? So that's the beginning, is make sure you don't do that. And actually, in my life, it's a matter of prioritizing all the things that God has me do. And I need to take captive every thought, even things that aren't sin. I take them captive so that I can walk in obedience to God and get finished the things that God has called me to do. It enables me to be more productive with my life. It gives me more joy oh my goodness, it totally gives me more joy. So I'll go ahead and talk about how I overcame depression through controlling my mind and taking every thought captive. Okay, when I was a teenager, I struggled with depression. It was never diagnosed or anything, so I've never actually had a diagnosed thing. But I wanted to cry all the time. I had all of the signs of actual depression, and I wanted to die. So, and that was for 8 years. I felt that way through all of my, pretty much all of my teenage years. And I tell you about this in my testimony under Spiritual Warfare. I had an interview with Beth Jones on her program. It's a free audio. It's in my on my website, susanevans.org. It's under Faith Made Real. So click on that and then click, scroll all the way down. There's a lot of articles that I've written about my walk with God. And it's under Spiritual Warfare. So anyways, in that there's a 1 hour audio where I talk about when I was 15 and I had an encounter with a demon and with God, and his Holy Spirit ministered to me at a time when I had nobody to talk to about it, and I appealed to God. I also had scripture, because I walked boldly to receive help in time of need. So I quoted the scripture to the Lord and said, "You said that I could walk boldly to your throne to receive help in time of need. Well, I need it now." And God supernaturally filled me with his strength and removed this depression. But actually, I struggled off and on because, see, I was very hormonal, okay? All teenagers are hormonal to some degree, but because I'm a very deep person, a very intense person, it was magnified as, in my life. And so what I needed to do was develop habits of thought that did not spiral me down into depression. Okay. And you can apply this to anything. Okay. If you've never struggled with depression, I will apply this to gossip and to other sins in just a minute. But, with depression, what happened is, it all started with me. It was like a hormonal thing where I wanted to cry. And so then I asked myself, why do I want to cry? And then I thought of the worst thing that in my life, and then I would spiral down from there. And so my mind would just go and go and go down the wrong paths, and until I wanted to die. Okay, so, and I had no idea that I could stop thinking those thoughts. You don't have to just run with your thoughts and just go wherever your mind goes. No, all that's out of control. You do not need to do that. You can grab that doorway of your mind and shut the door on it and carry on and move forward in your life and not think of it. Okay, you can force yourself to not think a certain thing. And actually, if you are asking God what you should be doing with your life to fulfill your life calling, using your spiritual gifts and talents, there's no time for such nonsense, okay? There's no time to, you know, to stew about things. And I used to stew about things. It wasn't just depression. With depression, what I did is I would see that I was hormonal, and instead of thinking, oh, what's wrong with my life, and then dwelling on the bad stuff, I took every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I threw it out and I said, oh, it's just my hormones. I love the Lord. I love my life. I'm going to get on with what God has for me. So if you are positively moving forward in what God has you do, you feel deep peace and joy about fulfilling God's call in your life. Okay. So, nip it in the bud, grab the thought, throw it out, and stop stewing. Okay? I know you're a woman. Okay? If you're listening to this, you're probably a woman. Okay? Women tend to stew on things. And I have had horrible things happen in my life because women have been stewing over something and about me, and they blow it out of proportion, and then they say things that I never said, and you know, you replay it over and over in your mind until it's suddenly it's a grotesque, you know, made up thing that your mind and heart contrived and morphed it slowly into making yourself look better. Okay, so you automatically, okay, even if you love the Lord with all your heart and you're walking by His Spirit, okay, even if you love the Lord with all your heart, you rewrite what happens to you to make yourself look good because you know your motivations, or you think you know your motivations, and you don't know the other person's motivations. And if you're attributing wrong motives to the other person, the whole scenario is distorted and is actually false. The further down the stewing road that you go, the further from the truth it is. And Satan actually uses this against you and uses logical arguments and rationalizations to have him slander the other person in your mind. And then it's super easy to slander them in real life to others. And then you justify yourself to other people, like other women over the phone or whatever. So the evil, insipid, horrible claw of gossip and slander begins in your heart and your mind as you stew, and you indulge those thoughts, replaying them over and over, just indulging yourself when you don't have to replay it over and over, you know, shove it out of your mind. And if you're having trouble, then fill it with the right words. Like you fill it with scripture. You can fill it with doing what is right. At the worst, if you're not walking by the Spirit and you have unconfessed sin and you don't want to repent or whatever, at the worst, you can, like, you know, watch a movie or something just to get your mind off the actual sin issue that's causing you to sin. So at least you're stopping your sin by, I'm saying, like, do some other thing, like, you know, do baking or play some music or do something that would get your mind off it. Go for a run. That can help a lot, actually. Your mind is stuck in the yuck a lot of times when you already feel yucky. And one of the number one reasons that our bodies physically feel yucky is that we don't exercise enough, especially in our American culture in general, except for people that overdo it. But most people don't exercise enough. And I've noticed in my own life, even if I run up and down my stairs for 5 minutes, then it clears my head. Or if I run around the block just once, or even walk briskly around the block, it clears my head and it helps me to think more rightly. Okay. So, physical exercise can help you as well. But, taking every thought captive, you can overcome depression by nipping in the bud the first thought of something yucky. You don't think of it anymore. Just don't. The first thought of slander, well, I'm talking about if you think badly about some other person, don't think badly about other people. Okay. So stop thinking about it and move forward. Okay. You can do it. Even if the thing is, deeply painful. Something happened to me this week. I took every thought captive. And it was incredible because I used to, like, stay up the whole night stewing, thinking about all the scenarios of how it could be played out when I was going to speak to this woman, one-on-one. It was a difficult person, and I had problems in the past with this person, blocking me from doing what God had called me to do and things like that. And I didn't know what to say or whatever, but you know what? I had the peace that passes understanding. I put it into God's hands. I wasn't going to rehearse it. Okay. If you rehearse what you're going to say, you are walking by the flesh 100% of the time. So if you rehearse what you're going to say, that's sin because you can rehearse what you're going to say, like for a job interview. Yes. You can rehearse what you're going to say for a speaking engagement or for anything except, situations of sin. Like if you have sin issue with somebody, what you need to do is ask the Lord to take over your mind and heart and show you where you're wrong. Okay. So that helps. That's step one. And then actually listen and to the Lord. If you don't know, that's fine at that time, then ask the Holy Spirit to take you over and give you the right words to say when you are talking with that person, and God will do it. In scripture, it says, you know, do not worry what you will say when you're brought in front of the people that are persecuting you or whatever. And that was actually the case in this particular instance in my life this week. So, but it was so blessed. The conversation was blessed. She was walking by the Spirit. I was walking by the Spirit. It was resolved. And it was wonderful because we listened to each other. And now I don't have false expectations. And there was this strife. And I did not lose any sleep over it because I didn't think about it. It didn't matter that it was a whole year of pain for me coming from her, you know. I just put it into God's hands. I thanked the Lord for the humiliation that she was putting me through. And I asked the Lord to make me humble. And so he brings instruments of humiliation to me. And I don't mind because I don't ever want to be prideful. It's okay to be confident in what God has called you to do. God has called me to women's ministry and I will be confident in fulfilling God's will for me, but I never want to be arrogant or lording it over anybody, you know, or considering myself higher than other people. I do not. I pull other people up and help them to shine. You know, I don't squash people. So it can help in controlling your mind. If you can control your mind, it will help you in your prayer life because you can focus on what you are praying to the Lord. It can help you overcome depression by taking those hormonal thoughts of sadness, take them captive and don't indulge in allowing yourself to feel all that yuck, and you enter in, and there's something compelling about it that you're drawn to it, but it's sin. So, like, don't go into it. Stop yourself, shut the door on it, and then fill your mind with the truth, or do something else, or exercise, or whatever. Overcoming gossip. Okay. There's another instance that happened to me where I was in a Bible study for a couple of years. This was years ago. I was in a Bible study that was, it had new leaders that were too big for their britches a little bit because they were, had just been put in positions of leadership. They were lording it over other people, and they felt that they were great and they were high, and they looked down on other believers, and it was yucky. And all of us had arrogance, including me, and all of our arrogance reeked to high heaven, and nothing good came out of that Bible study for two solid years. There was nothing deep that was said. It was all superficial garbage. And so I finally, after talking it over with my husband, and he kept saying, you know, let's just endure, let's just endure, let's just endure. So we went every single week, no matter what, even though it was horrible, just to be faithful, because Alan and I are faithful people. But what happened is things came to a head when I was hormonal. I was PMSing or something, I don't know. But I was on the phone with the, it wasn't the Bible study leader's wife, but it was the wife of the person who hosted the Bible study in her home. And I said that the Bible study was crap. And she agreed with me, and she said she would not go if it wasn't in her house. So she fully agreed with me. Well, I had no idea that after she hung up the phone, she would call the Bible study leader's wife. And so she gossiped to the Bible study leader's wife. And then the Bible study leader's wife gossiped to the elders. And all this happened in a matter of seconds. It just spread like wildfire because it was hot and juicy and interesting to others, apparently. And I should never have said that the Bible study was crap, even though it was true. It was not glorifying to the Lord. I think Jesus would have said that it was crap. There's a lot of very harsh words that Jesus used in his life, and that does go with his personality, by the way. So I don't think that it's sin. I wasn't cussing or anything. I was just speaking the truth, but I regret having said that because it blew up in our faces. And what happened was we were thrown out of the Bible study. Within a matter of minutes, the Bible study leader, the man, phoned my husband, kicked him out. So my husband was punished by being kicked out of the Bible study. So my husband was punished and I was punished. We were both kicked out of Bible study, but my husband didn't do anything wrong. He hadn't sinned, and yet he was punished severely. So he looked at me and he said, "Susan, what did you say?" And he looked dizzy, like he'd just been hit spiritually. And we had both of us. And I said, "I am so sorry. I said the Bible study was crap." Well, you know, one thing led to another. Eventually, I made a public apology and in all humiliation and groveling, and did what needed to be done to appease everyone, because I loved everybody, even though everybody was sinning and had not repented. I saw that I had sinned, and so I was, God showed me that I was arrogant too, in other words. Because I've studied the Word of God for years, okay? I've studied the Word of God for thousands of hours, okay? And I have memorized over 1,000 verses, and I've studied biblical Greek on a college level that my dad taught me. Okay, all these things, okay? For somebody to talk down to me like I'm a piece of dirt and I'm just a recent convert, and, I mean, it's so, why are you treating me this way? Even if I was a new believer, you shouldn't treat me this way. So it was my pride of all my, you know, it's like Paul in the Bible, you know, he was a deeply humble man, but he had all this learning, you know, and he was like, how on earth can you, you know, scorn me, all those things. And then he ends up boasting because he's forced to boast because they thought lowly of him, and they wanted to disqualify him because, he spoke in a humble way, to some people. So anyway, so that happened to him, and that's fine. Now, all the things I just said, even though they're true, and I'm not boasting, I said all that so that you would understand why I had the sin of pride, okay? And so God smashed my pride by having my gossip boomerang upon my own head, and I deserved it. I deserved all that. I saw actually in the book of Proverbs, it says that will happen. I'll find it somewhere, and I'll write it in the blog post that I put with this, this audio, on my blog, susanevans.org/blog in the prayer section. I'll have it, under controlling your mind. Anyway. But there's a proverb that I read right at this time that if you say something of gossip, then it'll boomerang on your own head, and that like lots of people, I don't know, it'll all come back to you and it'll be bad. So I looked at that. I'm like, oh my goodness, this just happened to me. And I laughed, but in a very like, oh, like humiliating way, kind of. Plus, I felt humble to the core of my being. It felt so clean and pure to have my face smashed in the dirt and be nothing. I felt that I was nothing, and I loved it because God was all in all. God was Lord, and I was nothing. And I loved it, and I yielded. I fully yielded to the Lord. I asked God, Lord, I don't know what to do. Please help me. I want to do what's right. And I pressed in to the Lord. And I was also yielding to my husband. I wanted to know what to do. My husband is my spiritual leader. And what happened was, okay. So all this happens to me. Well, I want to go tell my mom. I want to tell my mom the whole situation, all this hot and juicy stuff, and talk bad about them and make myself look good. And I knew that that was what I was going to do. And so I couldn't tell her. And I'm like, oh, I can't indulge the sin of gossip. And I got on the floor and I said, Lord, purge me from the sin of gossip. May I never gossip again. Lord, anytime that I'm gossiping, grab my mouth and like, show me what I'm doing and help me to stop. And so what happened is, a week later when I talked to my mom, I said, anytime I ever talk about anybody else, I want you to, tell me, and if I abruptly stop, and I did several times, I was talking about something else or whatever. And halfway through a sentence, I abruptly stopped and I said, that's gossip. I said, I would never gossip again. And I'm not going to do it. So help me God. So help me God, to the best of my ability. I want to never, ever gossip again, ever. And that's the truth. So if I do gossip, and I, okay, that could happen at any time, like this coming week or who knows, like, but I never want to ever do that again. So if I ever do it, I know it's sin. I, my conscience is now sensitive to it. And it feels yucky. The reason I'm teaching you this, and it's anonymous people, you know, from the distant past, and you don't know who it is or anything, because I know women. I know that this similar thing has happened to you. Not necessarily that you said the Bible study was crap and it all boomeranged on your head like me. Okay, most people don't cause like a big, like catastrophe every once in a while, like I do. I really do stick my foot in my mouth and cause a lot of pain to myself and to my husband every once in a while. And I wish I didn't do that. And I don't know how to help it. I love the Lord with all my heart, but it seems like anytime I ever do anything wrong, it's public. That's okay though. I don't mind. It keeps me humble. That's fine. So as far as the gossip thing, I was able to overcome that through taking every thought captive. Okay. So that means when I thought bad things about somebody, I shoved it out of my mind and I did something else, like read a book or, you know, whatever. And so you are able to, shut the door on wrong thoughts and nip it in the bud. And by the way, God transformed that Bible study and did humble the people in it and changed us as a result of that incident. So I do believe it was God's will, even though I very much regret it. I'm glad for the spiritual transformation in the people's lives involved, as a result, especially in my own life. So, so controlling your mind is super important. Don't forget that you have a doorway to your mind. You can take every thought captive. I have used, oh my goodness, I've just scratched the surface. Other times in my life, I've had, like, if you go without sleep and you can't think clearly and you need to cling to the Lord and to His Word, I have regained clarity of mind by getting a verse of scripture that applies to the situation I'm in, and I calmly recite that verse over and over to myself as I'm falling asleep, and that calms and grounds my mind to not spiral out of control in a sin area or in an area that I want to think about and dwell in and indulge in that thinking bad about something or scared about the future. If you're worried, worry is identical. You splash into it and indulge in that sin of worry. So worry is a sin. We're commanded in scripture. Do not worry about your life. Do not have anxiety, but cast it all upon Christ. Because God is in control of all things, you know? So God is in control of all things, and we can yield to Him. And so you can take your thoughts captive through scripture. And so scripture memory work, especially short scriptures that are easy to memorize. If it's in a sin issue area of your life, I highly recommend that you memorize the specific sin that caused you to say, ouch, when you're reading it. If that ever happens to you, grab that, put it on a card. You can recite it into an audio and just listen to it over and over until you have it. But just discipline your mind to not walk down any rabbit trail that you have in your mind. You do not have to go down whatever path you feel like that your mind goes to. It's a waste of time. Not only is it a waste of time, but it causes you to sin. And in areas of actual sin, where you are actually sinning with your actions and you're preparing to sin with actions, that's even more evil. So for sure block that, you know. But then in other areas that aren't necessarily sin, you can, you know, ask God what you should be doing in that moment, and then yield to what God would have you do in that moment rather than just wasting time spinning your wheels thinking about something that has no value, you know. That's one of my secrets of how I accomplished so much in my life for the Lord. You know, people say, oh, how did you do this and this and this and this and this all in, you know, the 1 month? I can't imagine. And it's, I get on my on my face before the Lord every day. I ask the Lord, or I try to remember every day to ask the Lord, what do you want me to do today? Because I will drop everything else. You know what needs to be done. Please empower me and strengthen me through the power of your will to accomplish what you would have me do. And wow, your life is powerful. It can be useful for the kingdom in so many ways. So this is Susan Evans from SusanEvans.org, and this was Controlling Your Mind. If you want more audios that are free about prayer, you can like my prayer page on Facebook. It is Becoming a Prayer Warrior is the name of the Facebook page. So go ahead and like that so that the people that publish the book can see that there is a group of women who does want to grow in their prayer walk, so that they will publish the book. At this point, it is not published yet, even though it's finished, polished, and edited. That's all I have to say about controlling your mind. Thank you for listening.